All right, everyone, say good morning. Let's begin. A lot to do today. Today's daf is Yud Aleph. We are picking up on Yud Amud Beis, and we are picking up right at the wide lines. So a lot to do today. We're actually picking up the line right before the wide lines. Remember again, we left off in the middle of a conversation of where Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, went ahead and said to his Talmidim, what is the deeper meaning of the pasuk in Mishlei? Tzedakah teromim goy. Literally, tzedakah will uplift a nation. V'chesed le'umim chatos. But the chesed of the nations is a sin. So how are we to understand, how are we to reconcile these two parts of the phrase? So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai throws this out to his Talmidim, and the Talmidim are now responding back. So we're picking up now, Na'ana Rabbi Yeshua va'amar. So Rabbi Yeshua chimed in, Rabbi Yeshua contributed and said, Tzedakah teromim goy. What does it mean that tzedakah will uplift the nation? Elu Yisrael. This refers to Klal Yisrael who are uplifted by the mitzvah of tzedakah. Tichsev umi ka'amcha Yisrael goy echad ba'aretz. The chesed le'umim chatos. What does it mean when it says that the chesed of the nations of the world is a sin? Kol tzedakah the chesed she'umos ovdei kochavim osim chetu lahem. All of the tzedakah and chesed that the nations of the world do for them, do, are a chet. Why? Shin osin ela kidei sheti mashech malchusan. Because they only engage in these acts for self-serving purposes, namely to prolong their monarchy. Shine emar, and here he quotes over here the pasuk from Daniel. Lahein, malka milki yishpar alach. So the king, our king, right? Our king ultimately again, Yishpar Alach, it should be good upon you. V'chata'ach b'tzdaka parok, you will redeem your sin with tzedakah. V'avayasach b'michon anion hein tehevi arka l'shleivaseich. And ultimately again, you will redeem yourself through helping the poor, and in doing so, your monarchy will endure. So we'll say, so the point that Rabbi Yeshua is making is that the chesed of the nations of the world is never purely altruistic. Now we'll say, and I remember again, we saw yesterday that even non-altruistic tzedakah and chesed is still worth something, but by comparison to the altruistic chesed of Klal Yisrael, the chesed of the nations is not as impactful or meaningful. Next. Na'an Rabbi Gamliel v'amar. Rabbi Gamliel came along and contributed as well, and he said, v'amar, tzedakah teromim goy. What does it mean when the pasuk says that tzedakah will uplift the nation? Eli Yisrael. This refers to Klal Yisrael. Chsev, umi ka'amcha Yisrael. V'chesed le'umim chatos. What does it mean when it says that the chesed of the nations is a sin? Kol tzedakah v'chesed sha'akum osin chet hu lahem. Any tzedakah and chesed that the nations of the world do is a chet for them. Why? Shein osin ela lehisyaher bo. Because ultimately they only do it for the self-aggrandizement. Literally, again, to become arrogant or haughty over. V'chala nesyaher. And I will say, anyone who is arrogant, nofel begehenem. Ultimately falls into the clutches of Gehenem. A very strong statement. Shene Amar quotes over here the pasuk from Mishlei. Zeid yohir leitz shmo. Oseh be'evras zodon. So literally again, a zeid yoyer, an arrogant individual, leit shmo, is known as a fool. Oseh be'evras zodon. He goes ahead and he conducts himself with literally angry pride. Ve'in evra el gehenem. And I will say, lashon of evra is lashon of gehenem. Shnei amar yom evra hayomahu. Amar Rabbi Gamliel. Adayin anu tzrichin lemodi. Despite all of the different interpretations that we've advanced, we still need the interpretation of the Modi. What did the Modi say? Rabbi Eliezer HaModi Omer, Tzedakah Teromim Goy. What does it mean when it says that tzedakah will uplift the nation? Elu Yisrael. This refers to Klal Yisrael. Chsev, Umi Ka'amcha Yisrael Goy Echad Ba'aretz. Goy Echad. The Chesed Le'umim Chatos. Now what does it mean when it says that the Chesed of the nations is a sin? Kol Tzedakah V'Chesed Sha'akum Osin Chetu Lahem. All of the tzedakah and chesed that the nations of the world do is a sin for them. Why? Shein osin el lecharif osanubo. Because also they only do it to disparage and to put us Klal Yisrael down. Shnei Amar. Because over here Gemara quotes the pasuk from Yirmiyah. Vayaas Hashem. Ka'asher diber, ki chatasem la'Hashem v'lo shamatem b'kolo, v'haya lachem ha'davar hazeh. Na'an Rabbi Chunna ben Akana v'amar. So we'll say again, more interpretations of the pasuk. Tzedakah teromim goy, chesed teromim goy, v'chesed li'Yisrael l'umim chatos. So we'll say, so Rabbi Chunna ben Akana comes along and says, tzedakah teromim goy, v'chesed li'Yisrael, ul'umim chatos. So ultimately, again, the tzedakah that's committed ultimately by Klal Yisrael is considered to be a great chesed. But ultimately, again, the tzedakah of the nations of the world is a chatos. Amar lehem Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai le'talmidov. Nirin divrei Rabbi Nechonia ben Akana midivrei umidivreichem. It would appear that the words of Rabbi Nechonia ben Akana are better, are more appropriate. They're better than my words and your words. Why? The fishu no sein staka vechesed liYisrael ulaakum chatos. Because ultimately, again, he attributes both tzedakah and chesed to Klal Yisrael and chatos to the idolatrous nations of the world. Mechlal duhu nami. Amar, this would infer that he also agreed with this approach. So Mahir, Bose, so where do we find Rabbi Gamliel saying this as well? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Keshem Shachatos Mechaperes al Yisrael, Kach Tzedaka Mechaperes al Umos Ha'olam. So Bose, so amazingly enough, what Rabbi Nechonya ben Akana comes along and advances a little bit of a different reading. You see, everyone's understanding that Lashon of Chatos by the Umos Ha'olam, by the nations of the world, as referring to the idea that even the tzedakah and chesed that they do is sinful. Comes along Rabbi Nechonya ben Akana and says, no, the way to interpret the pasuk is the following. When Klal Yisrael does a tzedakah, it's certainly, again, a tzedakah v'chesed. There's no question, it's an incredible thing. And when the nations of the world perform tzedakah v'chesed, it's a chatos. But chatos, as Rabbi Nechonya ben Akana, does not mean a sin. Instead, what does chatos mean? Chatos means like a carbon chatos, which Rabbi says is another way of saying that when the nations of the world perform chesed and tzedakah, it also gives them a certain kapara like zuchus. It provides something positive. Again, even if their tzedakah and chesed is not like the tzedakah and chesed of Klal Yisrael, it's still meaningful and impactful. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, I agree with Rabbi Nechonya ben Akana above the rest of you. Now, why is that? Because as it turns out, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai himself advances this idea, and he explains again the same way that yes, the tzedakah of Klal Yisrael is an incredible tzedakah of a chesed, but again, for the Umos Ha'olam, it's like a chatos. In the same way that a carbon chatos is mechaper, atones, so too the tzedakah and chesed of the Umos Ha'olam atones as well. Incredible Gemara. Let's say it's Kavaiter. Ifra Hormiz. Ini de Shavra Malka. So we'll say Ifra Hormuz was the mother of King Shapur. What happens? Shadra Arba Meos Dinar the Kamei de Rebbe. So she sent 400 dinarim to Rebbe. It was an incredible amount of money. Velo Kablinhu. Rabbi Ami would not accept the money. Okay. Shadrinu Kamei de Rava Vikablinhu. She then sent it to Rava, and Rava accepted the money. Why? Mishum Shalom Malchus. Ultimately, I will say now, remember, Rav accepted the money because when the mother of the king sends you money, you don't say no. You don't say no. So I will say, Shom Rabbi Ami Va'ak Ikbid. Rabbi Ami heard that Rav accepted the money, and Rabbi Ami, who refused the money, was upset. Amarlei, so Rabbi Ami says to Rav, how can you accept the money? Leslei, do not subscribe to the pasuk in Yeshaya. Bibash, ketsira tishabar nanashim ba'os mi'iros osa. Pasuk literally means, when the bow withers, it will break, and the women will come and ignite it, which Rav says is another way of saying, do not give the nations of the world additional zechuyos through Klal Yisrael. The nations of the world have afflicted us, have tormented us, and therefore they should get what they deserve. Do not enable them to acquire additional zechuyos. So Rabbi Ami says to Rava, how can you accept them? Now remember, so the backstory to this is that it appears that Ifra Hormiz is going ahead and giving money to Jewish aniyim. So at first she gives Rabbi Ami, please distribute it to the Jewish poor. Rabbi Ami says no. Rabbi Ami says no because he does not want Ifra Hormiz to have the zechus of supporting the Jewish poor. Ultimately, again, she gives it to Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami accepts it. So now, she gives it to Rav. Rav accepts it. Rabbi Ami is now giving Musar to Rava. Rabbi Ami nami mishum. So the Gemara says, "Rava mishum shalom alchus." Where Rava felt, Rava says, "Rabbi Ami, I know you're right. but what do you want me to do here? She's the mother of the king, and I'm not interested in starting an international incident by not accepting her money. Rabbi Ami Nami Shalom Malchus. I, Rabbi Ami, what? Why he should have also accepted the money? Al Shalom Malchus. Let's listen to this. The Boyle Lemifleginu La'anie Ovdei Kochavim. Both said, this is actually quite interesting. Rabbi Ami was saying to Rava, yes, you could have accepted it, but you should have dispensed it among the Gentile poor. In other words, use Gentile money to help support the Gentile poor. Don't go ahead and use it for the Jews. Rava also intended on giving it to the Gentile poor. Rava did not intend on using it for Jewish causes. Rabbi Ami de'ikbid hu. So Rabbi Ami, why did he get upset? In other words, essentially I will say, Rava is agreeing with Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami didn't accept the money, but had he accepted the money, he would have given it to Gentile poor. Rava accepted the money and gave it to the Gentile poor. So why does Rabbi Ami get upset? Rava says a very profound Musar, top of Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph. Why did Rabbi Ami get upset? Delo Saimu Kame. You know why, Rabbi Osai? Because he wasn't told the entire story. Such an incredible, incredible lesson. He wasn't told the entire story. What he heard was that Rava accepted the money. He assumed, based on that Rava used the money for Gentile poor. And ultimately, again, was exceptionally concerned. He did not realize that, in fact, Rava had dispensed the money towards the Gentile poor, not towards Jewish poor. Both sides, just you should know, we can't get into it now. But it is a very interesting discussion in terms of what to do with Gentile money for Jewish causes. You know, this comes up very contemporarily because, again, there are many wonderfully, generous evangelical causes that support certain things within the state of Israel. It's a big discussion in general about whether or not, what to do with money like that. There are, Baruch Hashem, many wonderful Gentiles in the world. There are many really incredible Chassidi Umos HaOlam who genuinely want to help. But you see this incredible tension again, but yet we also know that very often money very rarely comes without strings. And money very rarely comes without different types of motivations and motives. So the point the Gemara is making over here is that one just has to be exceptionally careful and vigilant. Okay, a lot more to say, but not for now. Tanya, Amr Alav al Binyamin HaTzadik. Rabbi Osei says in this beautiful Gemara, they said about Binyamin HaTzadik, Shayim Emona al Kupa Shal Tzedakah. So Binyamin HaTzadik was the Gabbai Tzedakah. One time, Pam Achaz Basa Isha Lefana Bishnei Betzuras. So one time a woman came before him in during years of famine. Amr Alav Rebbe Parnasan. And she said, Rebbe, support me. I need money from the Kupa. Amr Alav Ha'avoda She'ein B'Kupa Shal Tzedakah Klum. He said to her, I'm so sorry. The money of the Tzedakah fund has been depleted. There's no more money. This was years of famine. Amar lo Rebbe, im einata mefarnasani, hare isha v'shiva baneha mesim. Rebbe, if you do not support me, a mother and her seven sons will perish. She's literally saying, Rebbe, I don't have any money. I have no other means of support. But so listen to this. This is Rachmanis of Klal Yisrael. Amad uparnasa mishalom. Binyamin HaTzadik supported this woman through his own money. So some days later on, Binyamin HaTzadik is sick and is about to die. Amru Malachi Asher Seth Neachavish Baruch Hu. Such a moving story. So the Malachim said to Ribbono Shel Olam, Ata Amarta Kalamakayim Nefeshachas Mi'Yisrael Ki'ilu Kiyam Olam Alei. Ribbono Shel Olam, you said that whoever sustains one Jewish life, it's as if he sustained the entire world. O Binyamin HaTzadik Shehechya Isha V'Sheva Baneha Yamos B'Shanim O'Atas Alalu. And this man Binyamin HaTzadik, who not only supported one life, but supported a mother and her seven sons, should perish so early, so prematurely. Miyad Kara Lo Gizardino. We'll say, in that moment, they tore up the decree of Binyamin HaTzadik, they tore up the death decree. And what happened? Tana Hosifu Lo Esrem Ushtayim Shana Al Shenosav. So the Beis Din Shamal Rabbi Osai added on 22 years to his life. The incredible power of tzedakah, the tzedakah tatzil mimavas, incredible idea. Tan Rabbanan, Ma'ase b'munvas, Rabbi Osai, this is another moving Gemara. Ma'ase b'munvas hamelech, shebizbeis otzrosav va'otzros avosav, b'sheni v'sos. Rabbi Osai, remember again, Munvas is a king. Now remember again, Munvaz. Munvaz is an interesting individual, Jewish king, but again, descendant from Gerim. So this is the whole discussion. The Gemara Maseches Sukkah has. I remember again one time Munvaz was reading the Torah during Hakel, reads the Pasuk Som Tasim Alecha Melech Mikerev Achecha. He begins to cry, Zilgo Einav Dmaos, he begins to cry, am I not fit for the king? The Rabbanan said, Achinu Ata, they're held culpable for that because he wasn't really fit for the man. In any event, bottom line is, he was a great man. So King Munvaz went ahead, Shebizbez Otsrosav of Otsros Avosa Beshene Betsuros. He went ahead and he emptied the coffers. And he emptied the treasury. The money that he accumulated, the money that his fathers had accumulated, Beshene Betsuros, during a famine. So there was a regional famine. He emptied out the monarchical treasury. The Chibru Alav Echav Ubeis Aviv. So what happens? His family gets very upset at him. Your fathers maintained and added on to the treasures of their fathers. So, meaning the derech of a king is to add on to the wealth that he inherited. And you, Munvaz, you're depleting everything. So listen to how beautiful this is. Second wide line, Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Amr Lahem. So Munvaz says, my ancestors gathered money below. In other words, they gathered material money. Me, I'm accruing my savings. I'm accruing my wealth above. My ancestors, they gathered their wealth in a place where the hand has access. I have chosen to acquire my wealth or to accumulate my wealth in a place where the hand cannot reach. My ancestors, they gathered something that cannot produce any peros, cannot produce any fruit. In other words, I will say, money can't produce more money when it's sitting in the storehouse. But I have accumulated for myself, meaning referring to the mitzvah of tzedakah, the schus of tzedakah, a schus, something that produces peros. And I will say what he's referring to over here. Rashi says, "B'makom davar she'ose peros, v'karen kayam li'olam haba, v'haperos ochel b'chayiv." I have the ability to reap the fruit of this tzedakah in this world, but yet the principle remains intact for the world to come. Shene'emar, imru tzadik kitov, ki pri ma'alaleihem yochelu. Avosai gonzu otzros mamon. My ancestors have gathered for themselves storehouses of money. Vani ganasti otzros nefashos. I have accumulated for myself storehouses of souls. A reference to all of the people who he has sustained and saved through his tzedakah. Shene'emar, pri tzadik itzchayim, v'lokeach nefashos chacham. Avosai gonzu lachirim. My forefathers, they saved their wealth for future generations, for others. Va'ani ganasti latzmi. But I have gone ahead and accumulated my zechuyos for myself. Shene'emar, ulachot yetzdaka. Avosai gonzu l'olam hazeh. My ancestors have gathered for themselves zechuyos in this world, or I should say, money in this world. Va'ani ganasti li olam haba. And I have accumulated for myself great merit for the world to come. Shene'emar, v'halach lefanecha tzidkecha. Kivot Hashem Yasvecha. We'll say, so absolutely beautiful. So Munvaz HaMelech essentially telling us that we'll say, sometimes in life, the only things you could truly ever hold on to are the things you give away. An incredible anomaly, incredible spiritual anomaly. You know, the money you retain may or may not remain yours. But the money that a person gives to tzedakah, that's zuchus, those zuchuyos are eternally mine. Incredible, incredible insight. So we'll say, back to the regular world, right? Back to Baba Basra. So again, it's going to be magnificent. I want to be clear. It's just a different kind of magnificence. So we'll say, so now what we've seen ultimately is, just so you should know, interestingly enough, just so you should feel proud, we pretty much did like all of the sugyas of tzedakah. What we've learned over the last couple of blocks, these are the tzedakah sugyas. Again, there are certainly other sugyas elsewhere, but the bulk of Hilchos tzedakah is gleaned from these pages. So now back to Baal Basra. So Vimkana Baal Beis Dira Harihu Kanchedes. So let's remember again, we came off of a Mishnah that was teaching us the halachos of when you are obligated to participate in the responsibilities of the city. So remember again, the Mishnah said that if you buy for yourself a base dira, under normal circumstances, 12 months establishes residency, but if you purchase a home in the city, that home purchase automatically makes you like a resident of the city, and you need to start paying towards all city works. Our Mishnah does not reflect the Rav Shimon Gamliel. Why? The Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Im Karna Bakarka Kol Shehu, Hareyu Ka'an She'er. And both say, Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion is, forget about a base dira. You don't have to buy a base dira, you don't have to buy a home. Anytime you buy property within a city, by definition, that makes you like the resident of the city, and you need to start paying towards city taxes. I vatanya Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Im Kana Sham Karka Ruya Le Beis Dira Haru Ka'an She'er. But yet we learned in another Bais Rabbos that Rav Shimon Gamliel says, if you purchase land, right, that is fit to build a home upon, that makes you like the resident of the city. So we'll say it's a contradiction. To which the Gemara says, no contradiction. There's a machlokes tanoim as to what the position of Rav Shimon Gamliel said. Rav Shimon Gamliel say, you only become a resident if you purchase land upon which you could build a domicile, or to Rav Shimon Gamliel say that if you purchase any land, you automatically become a resident of the city. That is a machlokes. Good. So we'll say, so let's begin the Mishnah. Another beautiful Mishnah. Now we are still focusing on the halachos of Chalukah. On the halachos as to when one is permitted to go ahead and force the division of property. Say in Cholkin as a Chotzer, Ad Shiehe Arba Amos Azeva Arba Amos Azeva. But say you cannot go ahead, one partner can't force the division of a Chotzer. Now when we speak about Chotzer, we're referring to something very specific. We're referring to a courtyard into which homes open. So you can have multiple homes opening into a shared courtyard. So one of the parties cannot force a division of the chatzar, unless, of course, post division there will be four amos for each party. Furthermore, you can't go ahead and force the division of a field, unless, of course, now when we say field, generally sada often means like a wheat field. Unless, of course, there'll be a large enough area for each of them to plant 9 kav of seed. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, at shiyehe ba tisha chatzi kav lezeh, v'tisha chatzi kav lezeh. So as we will see, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He says that you could force a division as long as there is enough for each party to plant 9 half calves of seed. We'll discuss why that formulation. V'lo asagino, at shiyehe ba chatzi kav lezeh v'chatzi kav lezeh. You cannot force the division of a gino, of a garden, unless, of course, each of the partners is going to end off with a half a kav. Rabbi Akiva Omer, base rova. Rabbi Akiva says, no, doesn't have to be a half a kav, rather it's a quarter of a kav. So we'll say, the idea of the common denominator in all of these situations is, the point is you can't force a division unless, of course, what? Each party is going to walk away with something significant. That's the idea. If they're going to walk away with something insignificant, one party can't force the other to divide. So the Gemara goes weiter. Velo as a traklin, velo as hamur. And so we'll say, we're going to see, these are different spaces. So traklin is like an antechamber. Moran is a hall. Velo as a shovach, a dovecote. Talis is a cloak. Merchat is a bathhouse. Beis habad is an olive press. Velo as a beis hashalchin. We'll say Beis HaShalchan is an irrigated field. Ad Shiehei Bahen Kedei Lezeh U'Kedei Lezeh. We'll say until each party has enough. Zeh Klal. So we'll say here is the general principle. Good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. Here is the general principle. Zeh Klal. Kol She Yechalik U'Shmo Alav Cholkin. So we'll say here is the general principle. Any time that you split up a field, and the identity of a field is still upon that parcel, that's what it means, ushmo alav. So we'll say, so meaning, if I have a wheat field, and I split it up, and it's still large enough that people would call this a wheat field, or there's a bathhouse, and we split it up, and people would still call the subdivided area a bathhouse, then one party could force a division upon the other. Ve'im lav, but if there's not going to be something significant left over, then what? In Cholkin. Then one party cannot force the other to split. So we'll say, so one as well, this Imasai, Bizman Shane Shnei Remotes. Now we'll say, remember, this Klal this klal that there has to be a significant area left over for each of the partners is only if what? If one of the parties is forcing the division and the other is reluctant. So as long as the property in question is large enough, or the entity in question is large enough, that even after you split it, each is going to end up with a significant chilek, that's when one party could force the other to split. But if they're going to end, but if they both agree to split, Rabbo say, then what? Again, whenever you have partners agree to do something, you could do anything you want. So if let's say again, for example, Rabbo say, let's say the chatzar is only 6 amas large. So therefore, again, so one party can't force the other because they both only end up with 3. But if lemaisa and they agree to split it, that's their prerogative. However, the kisve kodesh, we've actually seen this alluded to before. Kisve kodesh refers to the Chav Dalet Sifrei Tanakh, the 24 books of Tanakh. Now understand, they used to write this in scroll form. So for example, you know, if you wanted to buy a Tanakh, you would buy one large scroll with everything in it. But for that matter, you could also buy a Bereishis scroll, a Shmos scroll, a Trei Asra scroll. So let's say again, I wrote a scroll together with a partner. You know what? He wants the first 12 books of Tanakh. I want the second 12 books of Tanakh. No problem. We'll just cut apart the parchment, right? So let's remember again, the different pages of the parchment are sewn together. We'll just cut it apart. He'll get his part, I'll get my part. The Mishnah says you cannot do that. You are not permitted to split apart Kisve Kodesh. Rashi points out over here, Lefichach Ginai Hadavar Lachatchan. Rashi is because it's Ginai, it's disparaging, it's disgraceful to cut apart Sifrei Tanakh. Fine. Says the Rosh, and now we're going to get into some very interesting halachas. I'm Rav Asi, I'm Rav Yochanan. Arba Amos She'amru Chutz Mishal Psachim. They both say, so Rav Asi comes also from Rav Yochanan. Something very interesting. The Mishnah said that partners can only force a division of property when? When? If there's going to be at least 4 Amos feach. So says the Gemara now, says Rav Yochanan, when we say 4 amos, that means in addition to the 4 amos that what? That every entranceway gets. What Rabbi Yochanan is now introducing us to is the following. When you have a home in the chatzar, in addition to your rights in the chatzar, you are automatically granted a space of dalet amos outside of your home. Outside of your doorway. Why are you giving? Look at Rashi just a moment. Chutz Mishal Pesachim, Rashi says, Chatzar Shal Shnehem, Shnei Batim Pesuchim Lesocha, V'lifnei Pesach Arba Amos Tzorech Bayesim. Each home is given 4 Amos opposite its entranceway. He says, Tzorech HaBayesim Lefarek Masomi Al Chamoro, V'chutz Mi'osan Dal Amos Tzorechi Arba Amos Tzorechi Arba Amos Tzorechi Arba Amos Tzorechi. Those 4 Amos outside of your door, right, loading. It's a loading and unloading area. It's essentially like a driveway, right? It's a loading, unloading area. So therefore, Rabbi is very interesting. So comes back to Rabbi Yochanan and says, by the way, when the Mishnah says that in order for partners to force a split of a chatzar, they each have to get Dalet Amos, that Dalet Amos in addition to what? In addition to the Dalet Amos they have outside their doorway, which is another way of saying that in order to force the split of a chatzar, each party actually has to be able to walk away with 8 amos. 4 amos of what we'll call the loading, unloading area outside your doorway, plus 4 amos of what we'll call chatzar area. Taina Melchior, right? So that supports this. In Chol Knesset Chatzar, Acheheba Shmona Amos Lezeh, Ushmona Amos Lezeh. Oh, but as I said, the Brice is even explicit. The Brice says you can only force the division of a Chatzar until you have 8 amos for this one, 8 amos for that one. 4 amos of loading, unloading space by the entrance, and an additional 4 amos in the Chatzar. Ay, Vahon Antinan, Arba Amos Lezeh, Arba Amos Lezeh. But 1 second. What do you do with the Mishnah? What do you do with the Mishnah? Elo Shmamina Kid Rabbi Asi. Rather, you have to interpret the Mishnah like Rabbi Asi, namely, that the Dalet Amos of the Mishnah is just talking about the Dalet Amos of general Chatzar space. But it goes without saying that what? That each party is also entitled to Arba Amos of unloading space, or loading, unloading space, in front of their home Shmamina. Indeed, see, this is true. Says the Gemara, Ikid Ramilu Mirma. So we'll say others have a different version of this exchange, where it's phrased as a question. Tanan, we learned, in Chol Knesset Chatzar Sheba Arba Amos Lezeh Arba Amos Lezeh. So the Mishnah says, you can only force the division of a Chatzar if each party is going to end up with 4 Amos. Aye, is that true? V'hatanya, but we learned, Shmona Amos Lezeh Ushmona Amos Lezeh. But yet the Braisa says that each party has to work with 8 Amos. How do you reconcile the Machlokes, or the Stira, I should say? Amar Abasi, Amar Yochanan, arba amush amru chutz mishal psachim. Oh, so we'll say the reconciliation is very simple. The Mishnah is talking about general amis within general space within the chutzer. But again, we're coming along to say that you're also entitled to dalan amis outside of your door. And I will say that we actually pass ken alocha lemaisa like Rabbi Yochanan. Namely, that when we, that it's an automatic assumption, and we're gonna build on this in just a moment, that every entranceway in the Qatar has Dalet Amos. You automatically get Dalet Amos by your doorway for loading and unloading space. And when the Mishnah speaks about that the Qatar has to have four Amos for each, represents an additional four Amos within the Qatar itself. Rav Huna says, Qatar mischalekes lefi psacheha. Goes, so that's actually quite amazing. Rav Chista Amar knows then arba amos the chol pesach upesach v'ashar chol kimer shavu. So we'll say now we have a fundamental machlokas. Rav Huna comes along and says that a chutzer is divided up in accordance with its doorways. Now what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Chutzer mischalekes lefi pesachaha ha'isalo chutzer uba shnei batim. V'echad mehen psuchim lo shnei psachim lechatzer. U'lebayis hasheni, I'm just going to read it and we'll translate it. U'lebayis hasheni ein pasuach lechatzer ela pesach echad. The cholik nechatzer, so listen to this. We'll call him Yaakov. Yaakov is a father. He has two sons, Reuven and Shimon. He leaves a home with two entrances to Reuven and a home with one entrance to Shimon. Now, Reuven and Shimon are dividing up the property. Now, the homes have already been distributed. What they want to now divide up is what? They want to divide up, ultimately, again, the chatzer. So says the Gemara, says Rav Huna, I'm reading Rashi. So Rashi says, V'choy v'chatzer v'apiv, v'nosin ha'echal Reuven v'no v'ashin l'shemen, v'chatzer lo chilek, in bo lachlo kesachatzer, zeh sheyesh lo shnei psachim noto shnei chalokim v'chatzer, v'echav noto chilek echad. So what's here? Funa comes along and says, a chatzer is divided up by its doorways, which is another way of saying that for every doorway you have, that entitles you to a chilek in the chatzer. Therefore, if Reuven has a home with two openings, two entrances, and Shimon has a home with one entrance, what happens? Reuven gets 2/3 of the chatzer, and Shimon gets 1/3 of the chatzer. That's Shitas Rav Huna. Rav Chista says no. Back to the Gemara. Rav Chista Amar, no sin arba amos chol pesach hu pesach, v'ashar chol kim b'shavah. So Rav Chista says no. Now what you do get is, for every entrance, Rav will say, what do you automatically get? Dalet Amos. You get loading, unloading space. So for every chatzer, for every opening, you'll get Dalet Amos. But the actual division of the chatzer is not done according to entrances, but rather is what? Is done according to homes. So whether your home is bigger, smaller, more entrances, less entrances, every homeowner in the chatzer is entitled to an equal share of the chatzer. So after we give Reuven and Shimon their Dalet Amos corresponding to their doorways, we will divide up the rest of the chatzer 50-50. Tanya Kavase Drev Chista, there's a Bryce that supports Drev Chista, Psachim Shebechatzer Yeshlan Arba Amos. Every entranceway in a chatzer, every home entranceway, is given its own Dalet Amos. So if one home had one entrance, another home had two entrances, the one that has one entrance gets Dalet Amos. And the other one that has two entrances gets 8 Amos. I will say the rest of the chatzer is divided up equally among the partners. By the way, and you should know that's how we paskin like Rav Chista. The way we paskin ultimately is, for every home entrance you have, you automatically get Dalet Amos. But the rest, after we give everybody their respective, what we'll call loading, unloading, Dalet Amos areas, the rest of the chatzer is divided up amongst homeowners. Irrespective of the size of your home, you share equally in the chatzer. So we'll say now, watch this, says the Gemara. Let's say again, I have an entranceway of my home that is 8 amos wide. So what do I do in this? Notel shmona amos kineged ha-pesach, v'arba amos b'chatzer. So I'll say, I get 8 amos corresponding to the entranceway of my home, and 4 amos in the chatzer. Arba amos b'chatzer ma'avidatayu. What are you talking about 4 amos in the chatzer? In other words, why do you say 4 amos in the chatzer? We'll say, in other words, what if the chatzer is much bigger than Dalet Amos? I'm not by Hakim Rasulim means to say, notel shmona amos b'orach ha-chatzer, v'arba amos b'rochav ha-chatzer. What it's saying, Rabbi Say, is that I get 8 amos along the length of the chatzar, corresponding ultimately again to my entranceway, the 4 amos barocha of a chatzar. And I get 4 amos ultimately again according in the width of the chatzar. Amra Meimar, so Meimar said, Hi Pera de Sufli, Yesh the 4 amos, Ho Ruach Ruach, supposed to listen to this. Pera de Sufli is a date pit, if that made sense. A date pit. In other words, a pit that in which you put date pits. Now, why would you have a pit for date pits? Because of both sides, what happens is date pits, when you, it's actually good to know, when you let them decay, they become compost, they become fertilizer. So therefore, again, what people would have, let's say, also understand, they're talking in a Middle Eastern society where there is a larger consumption of dates. So remember, again, composting date pits was just a very easy form of producing fertilizer. You learn a lot when you come to Daf Yomi. I'm just saying, this is bonus information. So says the Gemara over here, watch this. Now I have a date pit. So what happens? So the halacha is, that person who owns the pit has dalet ames on all sides of the pit. The idea I will say is, if I own a pit, I also need access to the pit. I also need loading and unloading space for the pit. Because let's say, again, remember, I'm not bringing that pit, you know, one at a time. I'm loading up pits, I'm unloading the compost, so I need space. So I have dalet ames in every direction. Now that's what the trouble say, if the pit does not have a defined entrance, I'm a base. The Rabbah say, if the pit has a defined entrance, then ain lo ella arba amos lefi pischo. So we'll say, if the pit has a clearly defined and demarcated entrance, so then you only have amos, a dalet amos by that one side. Fine. I'm Rafuna. So we'll say, if when it comes along, it says the following. Achsadra. Ain lo dalet amos. So we'll say, the way we'll translate achsadra for our purposes is like a gazebo or like a pavilion. So, and again, it's exactly as you're imagining. Meaning, if you just think about like what a gazebo looks like, that's the achsadra we're dealing with over here. Rashi says, Sheyesh lo min ha-pesach l'chatzer. So we'll say, so what's this achsadra? In the dalet ames. So we'll say, an achsadra does not have dalet ames. It does not have dalet ames. In other words, when you have this type of gazebo or pavilion, you do not have dalet ames of loading, unloading space. Why not? Time am I. Mishum perek maso. I'm sorry. In the dalet ames. So time am I. So we'll say something again. So what is that? So time am I. Mishum perek maso. We'll say, under normal circumstances, when someone has a home, why do we give them dalet ames outside of the entranceway of the home? Mishum perak maso. Because it must say that is the area for loading and unloading. Hacha efshar da'ayil gavai umavark. It must say, because the achsadra has no walls, if you want to unload the animal, what can you do? Bring it inside and unload it there. Now, here's what's interesting. It's just a different mindset. Why can't I bring my animal inside my home and unload it there? I know to us that this sounds like craziness, but again, it's not such a crazy suggestion. Why can't I bring my donkey inside my house and unload it in my house? Now, the assumption is because my home is furnished, and if I bring my donkey in my home, there's not enough room for the donkey to maneuver, and it could be just breakage of utensils. Therefore, again, Chazal, give me dalet ames outside the entrance of my home for loading and unloading. A gazebo, or right, the gazebo, the achsadra, is not furnished. Furthermore, it has no walls. Because it has no walls, there's more maneuverability there. Therefore, the possibility is that what? I can bring the animal into the achsadra, unload the animal in the achsadra, and therefore the achsadra does not need dalet ames of space outside of it. Masiv Rav Sheshes. So Sheshes raised the kasha. Echad shari batim vechad shari achsadros. Yeishlan dalet ames. Rav Sheshes said, the Braisa says, that both the entranceway of homes, as well as the entranceway of an achsadra, you have dalet ames outside of the entrance, which shows you that what? Even an achsadra gets an entrance, to gets dalet ames, to contradict what we just said, ki tanyahi b'achsadra de beirav. So we'll say, no, that Braisa that says that an achsadra gets dalet ames, that's talking about a different kind of achsadra, what we call an achsadra de beirav. We'll say, what's an achsadra de beirav? Look at Rashi, almost right across in Rashi. Achsadra de beirav, defanos sabivla, ela shemukafos chalonos. So we'll say, the achsadra de beirav, we'll say, was a walled-in achsadra, a walled-in gazebo, a walled-in pavilion, but it had windows all over it, right? It had, so I'll say, so why is that called an Achzad de Beirav? Because it was a great place to learn. Why? Because it was flooded with natural light. So because it was flooded with natural light, it just makes it a nice place to learn. So we'll say, in Achzad de Beirav, where it's walled in, because it's walled in, therefore what? I can't bring the animal in there in order to maneuver the animal. Therefore what? That type of achsadra gets Dalet Amos on the outside. Achsadra de Beirav, pshita. So we'll say, so what's the chiddush over there, right? What's the chiddush of achsadra de Beirav? Id runa ma'ayu. It's a regular room. And as we'll say, achsadra de Beirav is a bias. It's a bias. If it's a bias, then it gets Dalet Amos outside the entrance. Say, what's the chiddush? You're right. Ela achsadra misa. You're right, rather. What are we talking about, Rabosai? We're talking about, again, a Roman achsadra. What's the Roman achsadra? Take a look at Rashi. Achsadra misa, mukefes, tefanos, nemuchos. Rabosai, it is walled with short walls. Shin magios, the tikra. So I'll say, so whatever this is, the walls, there are walls, but the walls don't extend to the ceiling. Right? So there's like a gap between walls. So we'll say, in that kind of home, in that kind of walled structure, what happens? Because the walls don't go all the way up, there is some maneuverability for the animal inside. Therefore, what? You can bring the animal in to load it, unload it. Therefore, such an achsadra does not get dalet amos. So we'll say, so bottom line, what the Gemara is saying is, what's the take-home principle? The take-home principle is, where you have a structure where the animal cannot be loaded or unloaded on the inside, you automatically get Dalet Amos on the outside of the entranceway for loading and unloading. Where loading or unloading is possible inside, like an achsadra that doesn't have walls, or the Roman achsadra where the walls don't go up the whole way, the Chazal say, do your loading and unloading inside, and you don't get the Dalet Amos by the entranceway. Incredible. Ten Rabbanan. Beis Sha'ar. Achsadra Umir Pesach. So we'll say, now we're going to get, this is actually very interesting because what we're getting into now are like some of the basics in terms of real estate entitlements. What it's saying is, when you live in a particular place, in addition to your actual domicile, which you occupy, there are certain rights you have in the collective area. We're trying to define the nature of those rights. What we've already established is that if I live in a chatzer, I am in addition to my own domicile, I automatically have Dalet Amos outside of my entranceway. Those are my Dalet Amos for loading and unloading. So it says, let's clarify this a little bit more. Tan Rabbanan. Beis Shar is a gatehouse. Achsaj Rabosai is our pavilion, our gazebo. Mirpeses. Rabosai, Mirpeses over here means something a bit different. So we think of Mirpeset as what? Like a porch, a balcony. See here, no, Mirpeses means something very different. This is really fascinating. See, you look what he writes over here. Rashi says, it's right across. It's such a bonus, by the way, right? It's like when Rashi is right across on the Gemara, you feel like you hit the jackpot. You know, Mamish, so Mirpeses, right? You have to appreciate the little things in life. If you live life appreciating Rashi's across, you'll be a very happy person. Mirpeses, so Rashi says, whatever that word is in French, Iluyar, Vaharbe Pisre Aliyah, Psuchin lo, the kulan olin derech sulam echshkar derech. So, listen to this. Here's the Mirpeses. If you could imagine a two-story structure, this would be like garden apartments. But when we think of garden apartments, what do we think of? We think of, you know, two-story structure with an internal, or with, right, an indoor enclosed staircase. Imagine the following. A two-story structure, but the upper story, the bottom story extends below, excuse me, the bottom story extends beyond the upper story. So if you live in the upper story, what ends up happening is when you come out of your house, you come out to like a balcony porch area. You then walk down that balcony porch area to an external staircase. And that's how you get down from the top story to the bottom story. That's Mirpeses. So it is a porch, it is a balcony, but it's not just a place, you know, to sit or to put up your sukkah. That's the only way you get out of your home. You exit your apartment, you go walk down the balcony, walk down the external staircase, and you find yourself now in the chatzar. So watch this. In all of these cases, Yesh lahan Dalet Amos. So we'll say in all of these cases, these people all have Dalet Amos. Now, we're going to have to see exactly. Now, Beis Sha'ar, I understand. That's the entrance we have my home. So that gets Dalet Amos. Achsadra, we've established already. Now, Mirpeses, we'll have to see exactly what that Dalet Amos means. Now, the simple taich could be what? I get the Dalet Amos where? Where? Right, well, could be even before we get to the chatzar. Outside my home. right outside my house. Meaning, I get that on the mere peset itself, on when I walk out, those dalramas are mine. Now, we'll see, by the way, now that's a little bit strange. Why is that strange? Because nobody's bringing their animal up that staircase. So rather, we'll have to see what dalramas means. But Pashas, we're going to see, means in the chatzar. But we'll see how that manifests itself. Now, watch this. This is really exciting. Hayu chamisha batim psuchim lemir peset. So we'll say, now watch this. So let's say, imagine again, same structure, two-story structure. Bottom story extends past the upper story. So the upper story, when you come out, you have your little porch, you have your little terraced area there. So what happens? Let's say there are five batim that open out to that mir pesas. Ein lahen ela dalet amas bilvan. Rabbi will say, they only get four amas in the chatzar. Now what this is saying is the following. The people who live on the second story also need loading and unloading space. The chiddush over here is what? They don't each get their own dalet amas of loading and unloading. Rather, there is one dalet amas of loading and unloading space for the second story chevra. So the second story, which by the way, logically also makes sense. Why? Because since there's only one staircase, there's only one point of access. Only one point of access, which again would be illegal today. Holding an easy yonim, right? You need multiple, right? What are they called? Egress, right? So remember, in this area, there's only one staircase. So because there's only one staircase, I only get one dalet amis of one loading and unloading area. Even though what, there are five distinct domiciles. So we'll say, watch this. Now we're going to ask a couple of different questions. Now we've established, this is really interesting. See, if you live, Rabbi Osei, so this is another, this would also be in Talmudic times, potentially another major reason to try to get that ground level domicile. Why? Because not only do you get your own area, but you automatically get Dalet Amis opposite your story, Masha Inkain, if you are a second story, or we'll call it, not second, upper story, right? If you've got the penthouse suite, so whereas that's exceptionally nice because of the view, La Maisa, you only have Dalet Amas of shared area. The Rebbe says, it goes right there. What happens if I own a chicken coop? So what's that look? Yesh lo Dalet Amas or Ein lo Dalet Amas? So we'll say, here's the interesting question. If I own a chicken coop, do I automatically get Dalet Amas by the entrance of the chicken coop or not? So Amar Leh, Taima Mai Mishum Perek Masot. So we'll say, under normal circumstances, why do you get Dalet Amas opposite an entranceway for loading and unloading? There's no loading and unloading necessary by the chickens. Why? Hacha metapes va'ola metapes yor. We'll say, the chickens kind of hop on their own. So because they hop on their own, there is no loading or unloading space necessary. So we'll say, Rav Rav Nachman asked the following kasha. Bayis, chetziyav mekora v'chetziyav eina mekora, yesh adala amos in adala. So this is another fascinating question. Let's say I have a home that is partially roofed and partially unroofed. They both say, now this is by choice. Right? It's not the shot that my roof caved in. I have a home that's partially open, partially not open. So the shayla is, does such a home like that get dalet amas? They both say, now what's the shayla? The shayla is, if I have an unroofed space, I might be able to load and unload in that area. So do I get dalet amas or not? So Amar Leh, ain't lo dalet amas. No, he doesn't get dalet amas. Lo mi bai kiruy of milagav. I am a farik, so we'll say, I might have thought, I certainly don't get Dalet Amas, so we'll say, when what? If the roofed area is in the back, and the front area is unroofed, I don't get Dalet Amas. Why? Because I will say, the animal could come into my home because there is no roof, and what? Load and unload there. Ela filu kiruyev klape chutz. We'll say, even if the roofed area is the area that abuts the chutzar, and the unroofed area is in the back, nevertheless, efshar da'ayil le'gavai u'mefarik. But say, nevertheless, we feel that in that type of case, there is still the ability for the animal to go ahead and come in, even if the animal has to walk to the back of the house that is unroofed and load and unload there. So both say, so essentially the Gemara is saying over here is that, again, if I have an unroofed area, loading and unloading could take place in the house, whether the unroofed area is in the front of the house or the back of the house, because loading and unloading could take place ultimately where? In the house itself, therefore there's no dalet amas. Weiter. Echad mibnei ha-mavui, shebikesh lahachzer pischa la-mavui echar. Both say, so imagine the following situation. Remember, just very quickly because of time. Remember, the way it worked was the following. You had a home. multiple homes opened up into a shared chatz or a shared courtyard. Courtyards often opened up into a mavui. A mavui is a shared alleyway. So you can have multiple chatzeros opening up into one mavui, and a mavui then opened up into Rosh Hashanah. Here's the funny situation. I own a home in a chatzer. My home, let's say, is against the back wall of the chatzer, and therefore, technically speaking, I'm in between two mavuos. Right now, my home opens up into mavui. What I could do is the following. I could open up a back door into my home and what? Enter into Mavui B. So let's say I decide I want an access point into Mavui B. Am I permitted to do that? So the halacha is, B'nei Mavui Ma'akvinal, B'nei Mavui Ma'akvinal or in Ma'akvinal. So we'll say if I want to open up an entranceway or an exit from my home into Mavui B, do the people of Mavui B have the right to stop that or not? Amrlei, B'nei Mavui Ma'akvin Alav. Rabbi say the halacha is that the members of Mavui B have the ability to prevent me from opening my home into Mavui B. Why, Rabbi say? Because they could say, we do not want increased traffic. You have your own Mavui, right? You have your own Mavui. You have no right to go ahead and increase traffic into our Mavui. Rabbi say, now this is a very specific case. In this case, remember again, I have my own mavui already, right? Remember, if I'm locked in on all sides and the only way is to get out through mavui B, then the people of mavui B cannot prevent me from accessing mavui B. But if I have another route that I'm already using, i.e. mavui A, I cannot go ahead and then choose to access mavui B. Also, we'll stop over here for today. I'm going to record a little bit more, Amir Tzashem. Through towards the end of this daf, so stay tuned for that. And Amir Tzashem will start. Stay tuned for the time also. We'll see what time we'll start tomorrow. Shkach, we'll say just a mazel tov to Meir and Sarah Raskis on the birth of a baby girl. A member of the Shir. Simchas, about 5 o'clock. He didn't ask him.